Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir has once again evaded arrest by the International Criminal Court. In recent years, he's visited with impunity other signatories to the court, including Kenya, Nigeria, and Malawi. The South African High Court had ordered that he stay in the country until it could rule on a request to arrest him. But within a day, he flew back home from Waterkloof Air Base, which is under the command of the South African National Defense Force. South African officials say he enjoyed diplomatic immunity since he was invited by the African Union. But experts in international law say South African authorities should have arrested him. Mark Ellis says the decision to allow Bashir to return home was a political one. But legally, he said, South Africa, as a signatory to the International Criminal Court's Rome Statute, was obligated to follow ICC requests. This despite a resolution by the African Union urging its members, 33 of whom are signatories to the court, not to cooperate with the International Court. Ellis is the executive director of the International Bar Association in London. Supporters of the AU's policy say court orders can be ignored because most of its prosecutions have been against leaders in sub-Saharan Africa. Ellis says the focus on Africa is true, but he said 7 of the 8 cases against leaders south of the Sahara were all requested by African governments that said they lacked the judicial capacity to prosecute. Only one case against President Bashir was initiated by the UN Security Council. The court is now undertaking preliminary investigations into several other countries outside Africa, including Ukraine, Honduras, Palestine, and Iraq. The ICC, which has no police force of its own, relies on member states to make arrests. Ellis says becoming a state member of the court is voluntary, and the ICC's options are limited when signatories refuse to meet their obligations. Ellis says the Security Council, which recommended that the court try President Bashir, it could also provide incentives for or against states refusing to cooperate with the court. The council has been silent. Signatories of the ICC treaty, which meet regularly as an assembly of states' parties, could also take action.
They meet periodically, and it's within that assembly that there is supposed to be further support or further pressure on its own members to cooperate and do what it's supposed to do, do what they're supposed to do in support of the court. But internally, that has really broken down.
African opponents of the ICC are taking action. Many are calling for African governments to withdraw from the court. President Robert Mugabe has called for the AU to create its own court for human rights. Last year, AU leaders moved to allow one of its own institutions to have jurisdiction over a dozen international crimes. Otilia Anna Monganidze is a senior researcher at the Institute for Security Studies in Pretoria.
The protocol amending the protocol to the African Court on Justice, Human and People's Rights was adopted last year at the June summit in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. It does require 15 ratifications. As of now, there are no countries that have ratified the amendment protocol. There are just countries that have signed it. But those still fall far short of the required 15. Whether or not countries will begin to ratify now in the coming months is something that we're yet to see.
Some members of the Southern African Development Community have also called for reviving the SADC Tribunal. It was disbanded 5 years ago after Zimbabwe challenged its right to hear human rights complaints against member governments. So far, talk of reviving the tribunal has focused mostly on civil, not criminal matters, like labor disputes or issues involving the interpretation of SADC treaties. Another suggested alternative to the ICC is to encourage African states to adopt universal jurisdiction. The doctrine allows national courts to try cases of genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, piracy, drug trafficking, and terrorism. For example, the AU says it supports the establishment of an ad hoc court in Senegal to try former Chadian President Hissine Habré. He's wanted for alleged crimes against humanity in the 1980s.
It's ironic that in trying to get an arrest warrant here in South Africa, the South African civil society were actually invoking an existing law in South Africa that also enables universal jurisdiction. That law was acknowledged by the judges but ignored by the government in flouting the decision of the court to issue an arrest warrant.
Monganidze says the question isn't whether countries will have universal jurisdiction, but whether the courts will have the freedom and independence to exercise that right once it's adopted. She adds that none of the African alternatives to the ICC would prosecute sitting presidents. Critics say that means impunity for African leaders, many of whom stay in power for decades. I'm William Eagle in Washington.
In this case, international law would trump the political objectives set forth by the African Union. There's just no question about that. If you sign up to the Rome Statute, you're also signing up to the legal obligations to assist the court. They meet periodically, and it's within that assembly that there is supposed to be further support or further pressure on its own members to cooperate and do what it's supposed to do, do what they're supposed to do in support of the court. But internally, that has really broken down. That has not worked, I don't think, in an effective, efficient way. And the al-Bashir case is a prime example. So even when the court has gone to its own assembly of state parties, all of the countries that have signed up to the Rome Statute, even when the court has gone back to the assembly of state parties and said, we need you to pressure these various countries that are part of your community, they're part of the assembly, to support the court, the assembly of state parties has failed to do that as well.
The protocol amending the protocol to the African Court on Justice, Human and People's Rights was adopted last year at the June summit in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. It does require 15 ratifications. As of now, there are no countries that have ratified the amendment protocol. There are just countries that have signed it. But those still fall far short of the required 15. Whether or not countries will begin to ratify now in the coming months is something that we're yet to see. It's ironic that in trying to get an arrest warrant here in South Africa, the South African civil society were actually invoking an existing law in South Africa that also enables universal jurisdiction. That law was acknowledged by the judges but ignored by the government in flouting the decision of the court to issue an arrest warrant.